Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Shady Rays. SGPN is teaming up with Shady Rays for Shady May. Get 50% off your Shady Rays using promo code SGPN. And then go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/shady for your chance to win $500.
Howdy ho, degeneritos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Episode 344 goes out to Ronald Acuna Jr., finally back 100% from injury and just launched a massive home run. Not because we record this a day early. No, he launched another massive home run on Thursday, right? Right.
I don't think they play on Thursday.
In practice, on MLB The Show is what happened. This goes out to you, Acuna. Thanks to everyone for coming to the show. I am one of your hosts, Jeff Chalks Fox. This is part two of our UFC breakdown of the week. UFC on ABC, Rosenstrike versus Almeida is what's being served up to us this week. We've got five main card fights to break down for you. Today's show, if you want to hear our prelim picks, we had a very fun episode yesterday, so go back and check out that one. As you may have heard, I do have a co-host on the line with me here. It would be the one and only Daniel Gummy-Vreeland. Hello.
What's up?
What's up? Ronald Acuna Jr.'s home runs. That's what's up.
It said the quick update I just got on my phone. It said 470 foot.
Woo. Fantastic.
Which is, that's decently hit.
It's because I bought your kids Acuna clothes when they were babies. That's why.
Yeah.
He's home runs, I think, right?
Yeah. He Which really loved
babies anymore though.
He doesn't fit in that. The younger one does now.
Oh yeah. That's good.
Yeah, the younger one still fits in that. Although he's not that age where nobody wants to hear me talk about my kids, but I'm going to do it anyway. He's not that age where he's like a big kid, but he's like still short. So like his belly sticks out of shirts and stuff like that. He looks like Pablo Sanchez. He looks like Pablo Sanchez from the backyard baseball games.
do you get
that reference,
Pablo Sanchez? I think so. Did I play that? It sounds familiar. Yeah, he looks like Smee from Captain Hook, and
Cartoon Smee, not the one with Dustin Hoffman.
No, okay, I'm looking at Pablo Sanchez. No, I think. Well, you're a few generations behind me, so no, I don't remember. I think I might have played this game. Maybe
I played a lot of backyard baseball. That was right up my alley.
Ken Griffey Jr. baseball. That was the jam. Let me tell you. And Little League baseball. Did you ever play that one?
No, but I played MVP 04, and that's the GOAT video game because that was the one that had an expansion mode.
Which is
awesome because you could like you did the whole expansion draft, but you could also like bring a team to a city that didn't have one. So I was like the Nashville Squirrels or something like that, and like it's perfect. It was great.
Yeah. Awesome. So welcome everyone to the MLB video game podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode one.
There's not a good MMA video game. Let's just be real for a second. And I know there are people right now listening who play the EA Sports UFC games or UFC. What was it called back in the day? Undisputed was it called? The early ones. None of them are good. And let me tell you how bad they are, because I used to play the UFC 1 and UFC 2, the Undisputed ones, way back in the day. Xbox 360, I played them in college. And they gave me an uncomfortable view of MMA into the fact that it, like, ruined some of my analysis. For the longest time, I thought if you were backed up against the cage, the easiest way to get out was to just shoot a naked takedown and get yourself some space. Because that's how that game worked. It was broken in a lot of fundamental ways. Also, you just won any fight you wanted to as long as you just threw 37 straight leg kicks.
My kid used to destroy me because he would just button like, mash strikes.
I used to
fancy stuff.
My older brother used to get so mad at me because I would be Frank Mir, who, like, one of the worst strikers in the planet. But all he would, I would do is just leg kick him until he fell down. And then I'm like, yep. Cool, submission time.
There you go. Maybe Frank Mir should have done more of that. Should have done that to Brock Lesnar the second time.
Yeah, that was that was a good fight. Were you I feel like we're stalling and we haven't gotten to the meat of the show yet, but I'm going to ask you this question anyway. Were you a Brock Lesnar guy? Did you like?
No, but it was exciting when he fought, though.
Okay.
So it was an event when Brock Lesnar fought. It was an event when Fedor fought, it was an event, even though we were Fedor fans, but not as much Lesnar, but it was an event. So,
okay. So you were
like rooting for him or anything. No,
you were like in the in-between then. Cause there were people who hated him, people who loved him, and people were like, oh, cool. It's cool that Brock Lesnar's fighting. And, I think I was pro Lesnar most of the time, with the exception of, I really did want Shane Carwin to beat him a lot. I thought Shane Carwin was like the guy.
Told it was going to happen.
I mean, it almost did, to be honest. Yeah. Like, go back and watch that fight. He dominates the first round. And one of my all time favorite knockouts too is Shane Carwin turning Frank Mir into a bobblehead doll. That was just such a good fight. So anyway, enough of us gushing about when. Isn't it funny that like heavy? I'm going to go off on a bunch
of stand up routine things. Now.
Yeah. Isn't it? What's the deal with airport food? No. Isn't it funny that like for a very short time in the history of heavyweight, it was just like we needed to be as muscly as possible.
Yes, it's and huge. Like Frank Mir just exploded.
Yeah, he was definitely roiding right the hell up.
You think so?
But like, it's not that anymore. Like, who's the most ripped heavyweight in the rankings right now? Like,
can't even think one.
Hang on, I'm gonna pull up the rankings right now.
Ngannou was, but he's gone.
Yeah, he's gone.
He was more naturally ripped, like
yeah, he was just
sand or salt.
I mean, Pavlovich is ripped. We can agree, yeah. Pavlovich is ripped. After Pavlovich, I mean, I think Jailton Almeida might be the most ripped, and he weighs like 230.
Yeah,
Curtis Blades, Volkov.
No.
Yeah, look, it's, let me tell you who it's not. It's not Tai Tuivasa. It's not Sergei Spivak. It's not Jair Zinio Rosenstreich or Marcin Tybura or Derek Lewis, Chris Daukaus, Blago Ivanov, or Alexander Romanov. Those guys are all, and they're all chunky dudes, and I love it. Bring on the chunky era.
Well, we have a chunky main event. Well, not really. Half of the main event is chunky. And Dan mentioned both those fighters, so... Enough. This is what the show used to be like in the olden days. Talking about nonsense, but at least we kind of stuck to MMA this time. All right, I'm going to tell you about Shady Rays and Shady May, and then we're going to jump into your picks. Shady Rays is teaming up with SGPN for Shady May. Not only do you get an amazing 50% off, but you also have a chance to win $500. Shady Rays have you covered from the sun to the slopes with premium polarized shades, customizable snow goggles, and much more. Shady Rays have durable frames and extremely clear optics for outdoor adventures. Last not all, Shady Rays offers the most insane protection in all of eyewear. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they told us they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. Wear your Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back long after you purchase. If you don't love them, exchange for a new pair or return them for free within 30 days. There's no risk when you shop with Shady Rays. Their team always has your back. And for our international listeners, Shady Rays has you covered as well with shipping to Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United Kingdom. Go to ShadyRays.com and use promo code SGPN for 50% off two or more pairs of polarized sunglasses. Then take your receipt to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/shady for your chance to win the $500 Shady May contest. All right. The matter at hand, Rosenstreich versus Almeida. Main card, ABC and ESPN+. And it starts at 3 p.m. Eastern, and we are starting the proceedings off with the welterweight fight. Alex Morano versus Tim Means. Let me scroll up. Boom! Means, the Dirty Bird, we will tell you about first. 32-14-1 with one no contest. 19 knockouts, 5 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted 6 times. 13-11 with one no contest in the UFC over 2 stints. He's lost 2 straight fights. Before that, he won 3 straight fights. He also has multiple regional championships on his...
mantle.
Correct. Get it in the store, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. He used to fight at 155, but missed weight there. In the past, he also used to fight at middleweight. 2004 pro MMA debut. He's also 2-1 as a pro boxer. 3 inches taller and 3 inches of reach on Morono. He's got better striking and grappling stats in the UFC than Morano. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 1.33 strikes per minute, plus 200. Morano, the great white, 22-8 with one no contest, 6 knockouts, 6 submissions. He's been knocked out 3 times, 11-5 with one no contest in the UFC, 4-1 over his last 5. He did get knocked out in his last fight. Was a regional champion, used fight up middleweight, 2010 pro MMA debut, 6 years younger than Means. He's more active landing strikes, plus 1.13 strikes per minute is his strike differential. He outstrikes his opponents by over a strike a minute, minus 210 for Morano. I usually kick off the main card. I will take Morano over the Dirty Bird here. I just, you know, obviously I'm going to go with a much younger fighter. Let's check the stats there. Much younger fighters win 63% of the time, 68% this year. So someone, fighters who are 5 years or younger, 5 years younger or more than their opponents. So that's a pretty significant stat there. Plus, I think he's got more left in the tank, probably more dangerous at this point in his career. So give me the great white over the Dirty Bird. I'll take a shark over a bird any day.
I also think people are wildly underestimating Alex Morano. Like this
tell
is a guy.
Please tell.
I mean, he should be on a 5-fight winning streak.
Oh, here we go again.
No, but he was beating the shit out of Santiago Ponzinibbio. Ponzinibbio did pull out the knockout, and it wasn't an early stoppage. It was a good finish by Santiago Ponzinibbio. But if somehow he coaxes that last half a round, because that's how far he was away from getting to the judges' scorecards, there ain't no way he loses that decision. Like, he is clearly beating the hell out of Santiago Ponzinibbio, and that would put him on a 5-fight winning streak, which would include Donald Cerrone, David Sawada, Mickey Gall, Matthew Semelsberger. Not a low-key win, and Ponzinibbio. And if he's on that win streak, we're not talking about him fighting somebody like Tim Means. If he survived that 2 minutes and 30 seconds, we're talking about him fighting a Vicente Luque or a RDA or somebody like that. And instead, he's fighting Tim Means here. And a Tim Means who's looked bad lately. Like, he didn't look good in that Max Griffin fight. He got submitted by Kevin Holland, a guy who we think of as, like, barely having any ground game. And I think Morano has got more power in his hands. I think Morano is faster. I think Morano is stronger. I think Morano has the takedowns. Like, dude, I think this is one of the worst line fights on this card. I think Morano has a huge advantage here, and it's way more than negative 210.
All right. Get in on that, people. CLV. All right. Light heavyweights. This was just bumped up to the main card. Carlos Ahlberg versus Ihor Potiera, the duelist Ihor Potiera, Winnie the Pooh's friend, is 19-3, 9 knockouts, 6 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, 1-1 in the UFC, won his last fight via TKO. He was 1-0 in the Contender Series. He's gone 16-1 over his last 17 fights. He's fight at heavyweight, he's fight at middleweight, was a regional champion, 6 years younger than Ahlberg. He's been outstruck over his UFC and Contender Series career by 0.73 strikes per minute, plus 370 on the boards. Ahlberg, Black Jag, 7-1, 5 knockouts. He's been knocked out once, 3-1 in the UFC. He lost his debut and won 3 straight fights, the last 2 via knockout or TKO. He's not lost since March of 2021. 1-0 on the Contender Series. Used to fight at heavyweight as well. Is a pro kickboxer. An inch taller than Potiera, 2 inches reach on him. He's got better striking and grappling stats, and he's more active landing strikes than Potiera. He's outstruck his UFC opponents in Contender Series points by 4.74 strikes per minute. That's a massive number, one of the biggest we've seen around here. He's at minus 400. That's also a massive number.
Yeah, I don't love the negative 400, but I'm going to pick Ahlberg anyway. I think, dude, Potiera got tagged by Shogun, like a 150-year-old Shogun.
Yes.
Shogun's whatever age he is, you know, give me whatever age and I'd believe it. But like, Shogun's got a lot of miles on it and pretty much had said, like, this is it. I'm retiring after this. And he goes in and fights there. And early in that fight, he was getting his hands on Potiera. And the problem with that is that, like, Shogun had so little left in the tank that, like, he wasn't knocking people out anymore. He wasn't dangerous with the hands. And he was never like a long light heavyweight, right? Because he made middleweight a thousand times, right? He was never a long light heavyweight. Ahlberg is huge. And he's rangy. He's powerful. He wobbles people. Like, there's no way Potiera avoids the big knockout blow here from Ahlberg. Give me Ahlberg. He's going to knock him out here without any problems.
Yeah, Ahlberg is a pick. He's looked the hype that was surrounding him on his in his debut fight. He's actually lived up to it over his last three. Yeah, he's.
I mean, it's worth noting in his loss, he lived up to the hype too, because he tagged Kennedy and Zuchuku and had him all but knocked out in that fight. And Kennedy is, for some reason, has 9 lives every single time he fights. And survived that and came back and tired Ahlberg out and knocked him out. And since then, we've seen Kennedy Zuchuku is a bad dude. You know, Devin Clark found out the hard way. He's a bad dude. So even that fight aged well. I think he's looked good in all 4 of his fights in the UFC.
Yes, siree. So that is the pick for sure. Possibly inside the distance. We'll have to see. Maybe it will show up on one of our fancy dancy plays that we will bring to you at the end of the puck.
I gotta tell you, the number isn't flattering.
Well, then it probably won't then. If you're not flattering, then maybe Talkify is this place for you.
Another fine transition, my friend.
It is, because confidence is key when you're transitioning to ads or when it comes to dating. But if you've struggled to find worthwhile connections, it can be difficult to feel your best when meeting new people. With Talkify, you feel confident that you're meeting someone special who is picked just for you. Talkify is the country's number one modern matchmaking service that is designed to help you achieve relationship success. Their trusted compatibility specialist hand selects successful and compelling candidates so you can date consciously and productively. Here's how it works. The Talkify matchmakers meet with you to learn about what you're looking for in a partner. Then they'll select and screen potential match candidates for you, doing background checks, video interviews, and asking the tough questions that are too awkward for first dates. From there, your matchmaker plans your date, introductions, and handles all the communications for you, creating a safe and stress-free dating experience. Talkify is committed to finding your match. 80% of clients met their person within the first 12 matches. And right now, Talkify is offering our listeners 20% off when you become a client at talkify.com/SGPN. That's talkify.com/SGPN for 20% off when you become a client. Talkify.com/SGPN.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right, what are we moving to now? We're moving down some weight classes. We're moving down to welterweights. Daniel Rodriguez versus Ian Garry. I will tell you about D-Rod first. That would be Rodriguez. It'd be funny if Gary's nickname was D-Rod. All right, Rodriguez, 17-3, 8 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been submitted once. 7-2 in the UFC. He's gone 4-1 over his last 5. He did lose his last fight via submission. Was a regional champion. Used to fight at middleweight and lightweight. 1-0 the Contender Series, 1-0 in Bellator, 1-1 as a pro boxer. More active landing strikes than Garry, and he has better grappling stats as well. His strike differential in the UFC, +2.2 strikes per minute, +265. Ian, the future, Garry, 11-0, 6 knockouts, 1 submission. He's 4-0 in the UFC. He won his last fight via TKO. He was Cage Warriors champion, 2 inches taller than Rodriguez, 11 years younger than him. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 2.6 strikes per minute, -275. And it is me. I think I'm going to differ with you here. I'm taking Garry. This is probably his toughest test yet. Rodriguez is a game fighter, but he's just so, like, 11 years younger is a massive, massive advantage for him. So other than that, obviously he's 11-0 and he's facing better competition as he goes along. So I think he's the more complete fighter and obviously way younger than Rodriguez. So give me Garry here.
Yeah. I like how you knew you were going to differ with me.
I had a feeling. You're a D-Rod guy.
I'm a D-Rod guy, and I'm a fade Ian Garry guy.
Yeah, I remember that. Yep.
I just don't believe in Ian Garry. I don't know what it is about him. I just don't think he's as complete of a package as everybody thinks he is. And if you look back at his fights, like that fight with Gabe Green was just like him using his length and believing Gabe Green wouldn't move in on him, and then Gabe Green not moving on him. And D-Rod is not going to let you do that. D-Rod does not let you off the hook. That dude gets in your face, and you can tag him and damn near knock him out. Dwight Grant did. The body snatcher damn near knocked him out. And learned the hard way that you can't almost knock him out, because if you almost knock him out, he's going to kill you. And he came back and knocked him out. So the only people who have given D-Rod problems is Neil Magny. And if you want to go way back, Nicholas Dalby, like half a decade ago. But like he beat the hell out of Mike Perry on the feet. He beat the hell out of Kevin Lee. He beat the hell out of Lee Jingliang. And like, I don't know, dude. I think Lee Jingliang is better than Ian Garry. Am I wrong? Like, so, and especially, yeah. And even if you don't think that, even if you don't think Lee Jingliang is better than Ian Garry, or you think that like, you know, the stylistic matchup is just harder for him. Maybe that's true, but I just think at plus 265, the swing on D-Rod is way better than the swing on Ian Garry here. So, yeah, give me D-Rod.
Yeah, I am not disagreeing that the line is a little skewed, and I'm not disagreeing that Garry is overrated here. So,
Do you think he's overrated in general?
Yeah, it's the Irish thing and the hype and all that stuff, but not his fault, I'm sure, but. Yeah, he's overrated in general. Yes, he hasn't lived up to
he's not the hype. He's not Paddy Pimblett, but like
he's not that bad. But yes, it's similar in that vein.
Yes,
correct. I still think he has enough to beat Rodriguez, but I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't. So, all right, co-main event time. Light heavyweights. Speaking of Irishmen, Johnny Walker's in this fight versus Anthony Smith. We'll tell you about Smith first. 36-17. 20 knockouts, 14 submissions. He's been knocked out 10 times, submitted 4 times. 11-8 in the UFC over 2 stints. He's won 3 of his last 4 and 3 of his last 6. He lost his last fight via TKO. Used to fight at middleweight. Multiple reaches championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt. 2-0 in Bellator. 2-2 in Strikeforce. First Strikeforce we've heard for a few weeks, I think. 2008 pro MMA debut. He's been outstruck in the UFC by 1.38 strikes per minute. Not a good idea against Johnny Walker. Minus 106. Walker, 20-7, 16 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out 4 times, submitted once. 6-4 in the UFC. He's won 2 straight, both via finish. Before that, he lost 2 straight. He's 1-0 in the Contender Series. He also has multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get that shirt. He used to fight at heavyweight, 2013 pro MMA debut. 2 inches taller than Walker, half a foot of reach on him. So 6-inch reach advantage. 4 years younger than him. Better striking stats. He's more active landing strikes and better grappling stats than Smith. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.78 strikes per minute. He's at -105. So it's pretty much a virtual pick him on the board. Go
so
ahead.
What did you have as the two numbers? Just remind me again.
106 and 105.
Okay. So I'm going to go Johnny Walker here. I thought about this a lot because this fight is, it's such a freaking toss up in that like, should Anthony Smith be able to take him down? Probably. But, like, hasn't Johnny Walker looked really good on the mat as of late? Like, if you go back to that Ion Cutelaba fight, like, man, dude, he was the one grappling Cutelaba. And Paul Craig couldn't box with him, obviously, because Paul Craig can't box with hardly anybody. But, like, Paul Craig couldn't get it to the ground and paid the price. And if you, like, look at the two fights that, like, Let's say they got us off of Johnny Walker as a real prospect. One of them was a knockout to Jamal Hill, which, like, in retrospect, like, hey, Jamal Hill, no matter how silly it is a champion. And the other one was a decision loss to Thiago Santos when he had just moved gyms and really didn't know how to work with Kavanaugh. Now that, like, him and Kavanaugh are in sync, I think we're going to see a dangerous Johnny Walker. I don't think Anthony Smith wants anything to do with him on the feet. And if he can't get it to the ground, he's going to have to strike with him. So, I think this is a Johnny Walker spot for me.
Yeah, it is for me as well. Smith is hard to pick against because we think he shouldn't be good anymore. And yet he seems to eke out wins still. But no, Walker's way bigger and hits way harder. He's just too dangerous. And when I was reading the stats, let you know, Smith gets ate up on the feet. And Walker, like Dan said, he seems to be finally getting in sync with the I want to say SGP. I'm so used to SBG team. So as long as he doesn't revert back to his inconsistent ways and he, you know, stays fighting the way he has the past few fights, I see him taking care of Smith and looking real good at minus 105. So we are on the same path there. Let's go to the main event. I don't see how we're going to differ here either. Heavyweights.
We only differed on two on this whole card, man.
I know. We are in lockstep. Jairzinho Rozenstruik versus Gilton Almeida, one of our podcast and Discord favorites, Gilton Almeida. Let's tell you about Biggie Boy first, Rozenstruik. 13-4, 12 knockouts. He's been knocked out twice. 7-4 in the UFC. He's gone 1-2 over his last three and 2-3 over his last five. Won his last fight via knockout. 2012 pro MMA debut, was a kickboxing champion. Based on the last weigh-ins, he was 30 pounds heavier than Almeida. Rozenstruik's been outstruck in the UFC by 0.3 strikes per minute, plus 400 on the board. Yeah. Malhadino is Almeida's nickname, which is?
Is it Big Bad or?
Muscly is what it said.
Okay. Yeah.
I think that's obviously not a direct translation because it's Eno in it.
Inho means. Oh, no. Inho means small. But Mal means. Usually means bad, so I'm working with Latin roots here.
All right, whatever you want to call him, he's Almeida's 18-2. He used to be Gilton Jr. Also, was he? I remember back in the day, right?
Well, his name literally is. I mean, Almeida is the third part of his name. He's got like one of those big Brazilian names. It's like Gilton something Almeida Jr. He went just by Gilton Jr. for a short while.
Yeah, yeah. And according to Google, Malhadino means tabby, which is totally different than what anything.
That's a far different nickname.
It is. So who knows? Dan, we'll have to have him on Top Turtle sometime and get these things straightened out. How's his English? I don't remember.
I don't believe good.
No? Too bad. All right. Almeida, 18-2, 7 knockouts, 11 submissions. So he's finished all of his wins. He's been knocked out once. 4-0 in the UFC, 1-0 in the Contender Series. He's won 13 straight fights. He's not lost since January of 2018. Was a regional champion. Used to fight at light heavyweight. Used to fight at middleweight. 2012 pro MMA debut. An inch taller than Rozenstruik, 3 years younger than him. Striking and active striking stats better than Rozenstruik. Grappling stats better than Rozenstruik. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 3.85 strikes per minute. Minus 500. Obviously, I'm taking Almeida. Here's a stat I didn't list off here. In his four UFC fights, he's been hit significant strikes. He's been hit with two times in four fights. So that's how good he is at grappling and protecting himself. So I don't see Rozenstruik landing a bomb here. Almeida's going to take him down and finish him on the mat.
Yeah, 1,000%. I recently pulled up my article that I wrote when Gilton Almeida was on the Contender Series. He was in 2021's week 3 of the Contender Series. He was the main event against Nasiruddin Nasiruddinov. And I took him as a plus 160 favorite. And do you know what? I don't think I'll ever see that number next to his name ever again.
Nope.
Like, nope. You could put him against John Jones. He might not be plus 160, but he was against Nasiruddinov. So shout out to him. Also, Jack, that's the fight card Jack Della Maddalena came out of, which is
fantastic.
Just
a great card. Yeah. Great. Two great of our card. Favorites.
But yeah, he's going to take Rozenstruik down. If he doesn't take Rozenstruik down, I actually like him on the feet. I think he beats Rozenstruik on the feet. I think he beats him on the mat. I think he submits him. I think he ground and pounds him. I think he does whatever the hell he wants in this fight. If you're looking for a way to make this line playable, because I'm going to be honest with you, negative 500 doesn't do anything for me.
For heavyweights, no.
I'll give you two ways that I see this being playable. I can see Rozenstruik surviving a round and a half. It's definitely questionable, but I could see him surviving a round and a half, plus 170 on the over 1.5. Wouldn't be the worst play in the whole world. Also, I'm just going to throw this one out here. In a lot of books, it's over plus 200 to see Almeida by knockout. I could see him getting frustrated, not getting the submission and just hitting ground and pound from like back mount or something like that until he gets a stoppage. Because the submission line, it's ugly. Almeida by submission is like negative 120, which like you don't want a sub prop at negative money, right? So like...
Yep.
I think the best two ways to play it is, like, if you think Rozenstruik is going to survive, hit me with the over. If you don't think he's going to survive, hit me with the TKO prop.
Yeah, even inside the distance is a nasty negative number too. So you really got to get creative here if you want to make this worth your while betting on the main card. Main fight, excuse me, main event, whatever it's called. Go ahead.
No, it's a main fight. You got it. You nailed it. Yes. You did. You get it all.
You're such a good cheerleader. Thank you. Were you going to say something?
No, you nailed it.
You can tell me how amazing I am. Thank you.
Yeah, you're great. Let's talk about blocks, talk, and props in a second.
All right. Let me recap our picks. Almeida, we're both in on Walker. I'm in on Gary. He's in on Rodriguez. I'm here for the future, Dan. You're not here for the future.
I hate both all in on the Black futures.
It's true. Yeah, you are. Yeah. I wonder if this, we got to get you into a psychologist and find out, Dan. Psychiatrist, whatever. Some kind of therapist to find out why you hate the future so much. We're both in on Ullberg. We both like Black Jags. If any of our listeners want to give us a Black Jags, by all means. And we're both in on the Great White, Alex Morono. As Dan said, we are not done yet. We got locks, dogs, maybe some props. Yeah, some props. And how about some parlays? So I think it's my turn to go first, right? Right. A lock. Oh, goodness gracious. What's my lock this week? Don't want to get too crazy with the lines or anything here. Try to give you guys a good line, but maybe I shouldn't because I've been losing on these recently. Maybe I should just come right out. Actually, give me this line's not so bad. Give me Kim Firefist G Young Kim over Mandy Ball -190.
Nice play. I'll take Alex Morono -210. I think that, you know, I think I mentioned earlier on this very episode, that line's badly off. Like he should be a -350 favorite against Tim Means.
Yep. All right. For a dog, I'm going to have to go to the prelims. Cause that's where all my dogs are capped. Give me, should I go for a big one? Pete Rodriguez, Brian Battle, or Lisboa? Who do I want to take? Give me... All right, Battle, since he's one of our patron saints of our podcast in the Discord. Give me Brian Battle over Gabe Green +115.
I like that one. I'm going to go with one you don't like. I'm going to take Douglas Ooh. De Silva de Andrade. I think he's going to wrestle the hell out of Cody Stamann. I think he's going to make him look kind of silly. Also, I like Battle, but maybe you will see him show up in a different part Ooh. Of my picks.
All right. D Silva +135. Okay. Prop time. This is what I always ask Dan. Hey, what's the line on this? What's the line on that? All right. I know the Almeida lines are not worth it. What is a Johnny Walker knockout going to get?
Oh, that's a good one. I didn't even think of that. Johnny Walker knockout +170.
Give me that, please.
Yeah, I like that one. I hadn't even thought about Johnny Walker by knockout.
Smith gets knocked out and Smith is old.
And
undersized in this fight.
So I hit a +600 prop last week. I'm not going to give you another +600. I'm not going to hit you with another +600 prop. That's crazy. I am going to hit you with a +400 prop, though. I like Brian Battle inside the distance. All you need is him inside the distance. I don't have to pick sub. I don't have to pick knockout. And I think he could do either. He's got great head kicks. He's shown that he's got KO power at welterweight. I don't know if you've seen a picture of him. Have you seen a picture of him recently?
No, I don't simp over him, no. But tell me, how hot does he look?
He's ripped. Like, and like, he looks like a fat guy who got ripped, which, to be fair, he was a fat guy who then like, got ripped.
He was
ripped.
A Pooh Bear before.
Yeah. And he looks like he's in great shape. He's got the submission game. He's got the KO game. So give me inside the distance. Either way, +400. I love that.
All right. So Morono and Kim are our locks. D Silva and Battle are our dogs. Battle inside the distance. Walker knockout are our props. Gumby is going to give us a two-fight parlay that's going to pay us at least +10,000, ten times our money. It is called the Hungry Man John Superfan Parlay. Go ahead.
So I'm not going props this time.
Okay.
At all. I'm just hitting you with a pair of money lines. Give me the P Rod D Rod parlay.
Oh, a Rodriguez parlay.
I'm going to take the P-Rod, D-Rod. P-Rod plus 225, D-Rod plus 265. If the P-Rod, D-Rod hits, it's 1086.
All right. A modest 1086.
Okay. A modest 1086 for the P-Rod, D-Rod.
Fantastic. P-Rod, D-Rod. All right. Hopefully you enjoyed this episode and you are going to follow all of our picks because we're amazing at what we do. All right. We'll be back on Sunday. We're going to recap how we did do. And look ahead to next week, Dern versus Hill. In the meantime, Discord is the place you will find us, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. We're usually hanging out in the fights channel there. You can hit us up on Twitter, SGP and MMA. Gumby runs that. He also is at Gumby Vreeland. I'm at Jeff Fox Writer. Make sure you rate, review, and subscribe and all that good stuff. Tell a friend, tell an enemy about our podcast. Spread the word. All your readings. In all our podcasts and giveaways and all that good stuff at sportsgamblingpodcast.com or on our app. Make sure you download the app. Listen to Gumby's Top Turtle MMA podcast. This week, he interviews a couple of people fighting each other on Saturday. He interviewed Brian Battle and Gabriel Green. So make sure you stick that in your holes as well when you're done here. And make sure you read and subscribe to my Substack, moneymma.substack.com. Enter the free pick'em contest I have running this weekend and pretty much every weekend the UFC runs. And that is all you need to know until Sunday for me, at least.
This is my turn. It's my turn. I'm David Gumby Vreeland. He's the future Jeff Fox.
Oh, that means you hate me.
We'll see you on Sunday.